Cause I read the stories, heard her sightings, spirit was moving, and it was mighty, yes, I'm ready to go, well, I'm letting go.
Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That scripture has meant a great deal to me for many years. When I first became a Christian, God began to work in my heart. I hung out with some other young people that really liked to pray. I just actually showed up at one of their prayer meetings, and I was amazed not only of the fervency of their prayer, but there was power in their prayer. There was actually power in the room as they prayed. And I remember after the prayer meeting talking to a couple of the people that were there and asking them what was going on, what was so unique, and what was some of the phenomenon that I was seeing and experiencing. And they began to talk to me about being filled with the Spirit. They described it, talked about some of the things that are in the book of Acts, and that the Holy Spirit wants to come and fill us to overflowing, that when He does, He gives us power. And they referred also to Ephesians 5:18, where Paul says, be filled with the Spirit over and over again. Well, I was very interested in that. And afterwards, I went home, and I was reading my Bible that night, and I decided to start reading the book of Acts. And as I did, I came on those verses that I've just read to you. And what really came out in bold letters was, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I knew enough that this scripture was talking about something that occurred 2,000 years ago, but there was a quickening inside of me, and it gave me this impression that God wanted to do something in me. And so I began to pray. I tried my hand at fasting, and the next week I went back to this prayer meeting, and I told them that I thought God wanted to touch my life, and they began to pray for me, and all of a sudden I had this actual experience. I can say it was a supernatural experience of the presence and power of God coming onto my life. I knew not only that He lived within me, but now He had in some miraculous way empowered me to do the ministry of Jesus. And that's what started me on the path of considering full-time vocational Christian ministry. You see, I believe that Scripture is very clear about the fact that when the Holy Spirit touches us, that He doesn't just want to set up residence so that we have a helper, which is He does, of course, and is very important, but He wants to empower us, give us empowerment that goes beyond our own abilities to move forward with authority, to advance the kingdom of God, to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Of course, we know in the book of Acts that after this passage, they did begin to wait, and all of a sudden in Acts chapter 2, it talks about this amazing experience that when the day of Pentecost came, all of a sudden they're together and a sound like a violent blowing wind comes and fills the whole room. And the Bible says that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire come upon them, and soon people were talking in languages that they had never actually learned, and they spilled out into the streets. And when they got out there, all of a sudden, people began to hear the gospel in their own language, and it was actually quite amazing. You see, what was happening there in Acts chapter 2 is what John and Jesus had talked about early in the ministry of Jesus. You remember John the Baptist? He said, or at least it's recorded that he said in John chapter 1, verse 33, that Jesus would come and He would baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is an amazing story. What does it mean to be baptized? Of course, when John was baptizing, he would take water and he would pour it over people, or he would take them into the Jordan and bring them up, and they were saturated with water as an act of cleansing. And what John was saying is that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit that is also possible for God's children that takes their Christian walk in a completely different dimension. Now, there's some things that I think are important to say about this. One of them is that it happens according to His prerogative. It says He will baptize you. It's not something we can manipulate, or there's no little formula. You don't have these three steps and automatically you're baptized. But we do know that the Bible says he does want to fill you with the Spirit. And so the beginning is, I would encourage you just to ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to experience the presence and power that is mine to go out and do ministry so that I can serve you better, hear you better, learn, grow. But it's not only his prerogative. I think this happens his way. I don't think there is one way. You look at the Bible and some people were filled with the Holy Spirit while they were listening to sermons. Other people were filled with the Holy Spirit while they were praying. Other people were filled with the Holy Spirit when they were laying on of hands. You can't predict it. You just want to respond as you feel this stirring inside that says, I want more. I want all that God has. I remember once preaching on this, and some people had in the church come forward at the end of a service to receive prayer, and God was touching and filling people. And there was one man that came forward, and he said he sensed nothing, and he was rather discouraged, but he went home and thought about it and said, well, God does what God wants to do. The next day, he came and told me that he was actually getting a bath. He was in the bathtub, and he began to think about this, and all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he began to manifest some gifts that he had never had before, and wow, he said it was a phenomenal experience. Now, I was grateful for that, and I rejoiced in the Lord with him, but I also chuckled because I thought anybody that hears this is probably going to go home that night and pour a nice warm bath, hoping that the Holy Spirit would come. Well, Jesus baptizes us according to his prerogative, and he does it his way. You never know when. It also is a story that we need to accept the fact that it comes in his time. He can do it anytime he wants. And of course, our willingness to respond and our hunger and our lifting our hearts and hands to him and say, Father, fill me, that's an important step in the way. But it's really going to come in the time of Christ. We need to position. We need to stand ready in season and out. And then you can't predict the manifestations of the Spirit. I know that there are many people that teach that if you're filled with the Spirit, the manifestation will be the ability to have some kind of a prayer language. Well, I do know that happens. I've experienced that myself. But I don't think it's the only way that the Holy Spirit begins to manifest his presence. Some people get this overwhelming sense of love. Others have an amazing sense of peace that comes over them. But whatever it is, they know that something dramatic has happened, something dramatic has changed, and that they will never again be the same. Now, the exciting thing that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, is it's something that can happen over and over again. It might not happen the same way, but we don't get one filling, and then that's it for the rest of our lives. But as we go into ministry, there can be different levels of filling that happen to us. As a matter of fact, I would like to suggest to you to consider it not so much like we're a pitcher that God pours power down from on high. That's not a bad image, and a lot of people believe that. But I think what happens to us is that when the Holy Spirit is within us, there's like an artesian well inside of us. And things block it, our own sinfulness, unbelief, ignorance of the ministry of the Spirit, not moving in circles where the Spirit is welcome, that can block this artesian well. But all of a sudden, through prayer and asking, this Spirit explosion happens and it blows away the debris. And the next thing you know, we're experiencing a new presence and a new power of God. That's very, very important for us to consider, that it isn't so much as saying, God, bring it from the outside in, but Lord, unleash what's inside out. Now, in the long run, whatever the image is doesn't matter a whole lot to me. What matters is that we're actually turning to the Lord and asking him to fill us with this ministry of the Spirit. I mentioned the last time we were together an author named Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was a pastor in London. He wrote a magnificent book called Joy Unspeakable. It's about being filled with the Spirit, about, in his terms, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's a great book. And he talked about how this is something that is offered to all of us who name the name of Jesus, but many of us walk around not aware that we, in fact, can experience this outpouring of the Spirit. It's unfortunate many people believe there are these spiritual superstars and then all the rest of us. The truth of the matter is, it's only all the rest of us. Ordinary people, just like it says in the book of Acts, that God gifts in extraordinary ways in order that we can then serve the kingdom of God. That's what was true of Jesus' disciples. They were pretty ordinary human beings, but God touched them. God filled them with the Spirit. And after the resurrection of Christ, when he ascended into heaven, they went and changed the world. Can you imagine that as the Holy Spirit fell there in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, that there had been just 120 people in an upper room praying, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes, and it jumps from 120 to thousands. And then all through the book of Acts, you see where more and more and more people are joining this way, the way of Jesus, until it stops saying added and starts multiplying. That's pretty exciting. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit. You see, in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, it actually says, Jesus actually says, that wait for the Holy Spirit to come, the gift the Father promised, and when he does come, you will be my witnesses. I think what Jesus is saying is, when the Holy Spirit falls upon you, you can't help but be his witness because you're dripping with the presence of the Lord and the presence of the Spirit. I think in my earliest days, I had the idea that the Holy Spirit was a gentle butler, and he carried a little towel on his arm and a pitcher in his hand and then a cup in the other, and he would come around very gently as a gentleman and ask us if we want a little bit of water. Very controlled, non-chaotic, able to be accepted easily. I don't think that's the image of the Holy Spirit we get from the Bible. The Holy Spirit is doing things that are amazing, giving people the abilities to speak in other languages, giving them authority to press against evil and see people set free, seeing miracles occur, house shaking, handkerchiefs healing, people doing some kind of unbelievable astro travel. Really hard to understand, but the Holy Spirit comes and does these amazing things. And what God wants us to know is that the Holy Spirit isn't done, that he's willing to continue to move in our lives as we open our hearts to him. This isn't for superstars. If it were, I would never have a shot at it. But the Holy Spirit filled me years ago and continued to fill me time after time as I would go to do ministry. And as I would ask the question, Father, what are you doing? And decide I will do it with him, then all of a sudden I would find that I am moving in a power that goes beyond myself, in manifestations that are certainly beyond my own abilities. And this is what we see throughout the scriptures, these amazing tales of individuals who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you a story about D.L. Moody. I read this, and it was really motivated my life, and I've told this story many times, and there are some books that you can get about this, but D.L. Moody was in the mid-19th century, a very famous preacher. He preached out of Chicago. You may have heard of the Moody Bible Institute and Moody Church, and he would pack it in with people that wanted to hear him preach. But there was this woman who was an intercessor. She was known as Auntie Sarah Cook. She was a saint. I think she was born somewhere around 1827. She lived into the early part of the 20th century. I think she died somewhere around 1921. And all throughout the region, she was known as a great prayer warrior. Well, one day she went to D.L. Moody and told him that she was praying that he would be filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. And from what I understand, Moody was a little bit put off with that. What do you mean? Do you think I'm missing something, that I don't have everything? But she and a friend were determined that they were going to continue to pray for him, that he would have a new and fresh experience of the life of the Holy Spirit in his life. Moody went on to say that sometime later, he was in New York City walking down Wall Street, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came on him with such power that he had to find a home that would allow him to go in, and there he began to pray, and God overwhelmed him, and according to Moody, he had to say, God, please stop, or else I will die under your presence and your power. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that it's going to be that intense. It comes different for different people, but that all of a sudden there's this time where we know God wants to do something special. A couple nights ago in my class, we were praying about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I was teaching a class on deep emotional healing, and I sensed the Holy Spirit present, and I asked if there was anyone in the room that would like to receive prayer for a fresh touch, a fresh opening of the Holy Spirit. And at least 9 or 10 students said yes, so other students gathered around them. And I had the opportunity to pray for this young man. His name is Ryan, and God landed. God touched him. God filled him. And when I asked him what he thought happened, he said, I could hardly describe it. He said, I felt like raw power had moved through me. The power to call mountains into the sea. And he said, what was that? And I said, oh, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means when the Holy Spirit begins to move through us. Now, remember, I'm not saying it's always that powerful, but it's that real. Yes, we accept it by faith. We open our hands and we say, God, unleash your power with me. And by faith, I'm going to move forward to trust that you're going to do that. But I do believe there is an experiential component to this. You know, you don't have to stand outside in a deluge to know it's raining. Sometimes it's just a few drops, but you know you're getting wet. Other times the rain pours on you and you're going to be soaked to the bone. And that's the way it happens when the Holy Spirit begins to move in our lives. I am convinced that it all begins when I say, I need more. I think recognition of need is where it all begins. That something inside of us says there must be more than this. And when we say yes to the more than this, all of a sudden things begin to change. How about you? Do you have a there must be more than this cry inside of you? Is there something in you and say, this can't be all there is? Especially when you read in Scripture about miracles and movements. Well, I believe that if you have that holy desperation, a holy dissatisfaction inside that there's got to be more than this, that it's actually the Holy Spirit preparing you and saying, there is more. Open your heart to me. I want to encourage you that if you have this recognition of need, start reviewing Scripture. Look at the teachings of Jesus, particularly in John chapters 14, 15. Look at the entire book of Acts. Look at the teachings of Paul. And see if something just spurs inside of you to where you say, I want more. And eventually it's asking. Asking. Jesus said that if you ask, the Father is, he wants to give you this. How much more he wants to give the Holy Spirit to his children that ask. Remain open. Talk to people about it. Investigate, read some books, scriptures, and don't give up in your asking. Now, I'm convinced this isn't a one-time event, but it often starts with one moment in time where we say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. Having faith that God is generous and that the Holy Spirit is there is obviously foundational to this. And remember that it's not something that we get so that we can then show off. It's the beginning of a new, intense relationship. You see, the Holy Spirit comes in us when we're born again. Then he begins to sanctify us, set us apart to live the way Jesus really wants us to live. He gives us spiritual gifts to advance the kingdom, and then he gives us power to flow through those gifts so that we can do things beyond ourselves. This is about a deep relationship with God that comes through the Holy Spirit. It's about an empowerment, being a living witness to Jesus Christ. When I said there should be a new normal, this is what I was talking about. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit, whether it's as gentle as an internal whisper from the presence of the Spirit or something more dynamic, should be a regular part of the life of the church. Maybe there's a couple friends that you have that would similarly share that they have a deep hunger, and maybe you could go with them and start to talk about this. Get together and pray. See what God's willing to do. He's done this for centuries when people gather together and begin to pray. Bringing the Holy Spirit into our lives in ways that we can hardly imagine. Not as a one-time experience, but over and over and again in order to empower the church to truly serve the Lord. So that's what I wanted to share with you. I pray that something in this podcast about the Holy Spirit will stir you, that you'll reach out your heart to the Lord and ask Him. Let me pray for you now. Father in heaven, we come in the strong name of our Lord Jesus, and we thank you for all that the Lord has made possible now that we are your children. And one of the promises that we have in Scripture is that as your children, the Holy Spirit abides in us and gives us life, animates who we are in you. Teach us more about the Holy Spirit. Give us a holy yearning for more. Precious Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, move upon our lives. I pray for all those that are listening right now that you would stir them. Maybe there's even someone pull their car off the side of the road, get on their knees at home, and say, I want more of you, Holy Spirit, in order that I can move in the kingdom. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your faithfulness as the paraclete to be alongside of us, to be within us, to guide us, direct us. And now we pray, please empower us. Send your power through our lives that we might combat the darkness in this world in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Spirit, come blow through this place in your power and grace, oh Lord. As we sing your praise and as we seek your face, oh Lord.